Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Standard League Edition podcast. Gosh, we got to get a shorter name for that, don't we, Kyle? My name is John Sally. I'm a Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined by my co-host, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW fantasy football contributor, Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, first of all, you are Pro Football Weekly's representative in the Blog Talk Radio Experts League. How we doing?
5-1 and in first place.
Wow.
Just 3 weeks in a row with the highest scoring team. Waiting for the bottom to fall out, because you know that's going to happen, because it is fantasy football, and with all the question marks red Qs next to my team right now, I'm feeling like it might be that week.
Well, hopefully not, because this is quite a roll and quite a turnaround here. So Kyle, outstanding work and way to represent PFW here.
Yeah, looking forward to hopefully picking up another win this week. The more I look at it, the more I'm getting concerned though here.
All right. Well, hopefully we can move to 6-1. Hopefully Kyle can move to 6-1 in the Experts League. But yeah, you are here, listener, for the game by game breakdown. Arthur Arkish is not with us this week. He will be with us next week. But you're here for the game by game breakdown. So Kyle and I are going to break down each game, give you some of our favorite plays, and end the podcast as we usually do with some bold calls. So let's start with what I think is a game for some potential fantasy goodness here. Tennessee at Cleveland, 45.5 is the over-under. Tennessee favored by 6 on the road. Cleveland has gone back to DeShone Kizer at quarterback. But, Kyle, I think the Tennessee guys are very interesting in this game against the Browns.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota looked pretty healthy last week. Obviously, the running totals weren't there like usual. But he doesn't even have an injury designation this week, so I think he's getting healthier. I think this is a blow-up spot for him. I like Rishard Matthews. You mentioned in our DFS podcast you like Eric Decker. I don't feel strongly about that. But I don't really have a great argument against anyone when they're playing the Cleveland defense.
Yeah, I think Matthews is a WR2 this week, and I think Decker is a potential flex play for you.
Anyone you like on the Cleveland side?
No, I can't find any. Maybe if you're in a 16 team league, Ricardo Lewis and a flex.
Yeah,
it's about how I feel about it.
I went there in DFS last week and it didn't end well, so I probably would not recommend doing that. Maybe Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I mean the ball's got to go to somebody in Cleveland, and Duke Johnson has been the guy consistently over the season.
Yeah. You know what? One thing in this game, I would really like to know if DeMarco Murray is going to play.
Yeah, if he doesn't, Derrick Henry really, I think, I mean, you were probably playing him anyway, but he elevates into an RB1 conversation, I think, if DeMarco Murray's out.
Yeah, I actually have Murray and Henry, so trying to figure out how I'm going to play that one.
Well, hopefully the inactives come out and we find out that we find out some better information on Murray by then.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have it one, you know, either in or like either he's in with no injury like worries or he's just completely out. I don't want to get into one of those ideas or where he says he's active and then he touches the ball 4 times.
Yeah. I think Henry is the safer play out of the two as we're taping this on Thursday afternoon. So let's move on to the next one. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Jacksonville is a favorite on the road by 3. 43.5 is the over under. We've got some injury situations to watch on the Jacksonville offense. If Leonard Fournette is out, go find Chris Ivory and plug him in, I think.
Yes.
And you got to watch if Marquise Lee is out, Alan Hearns becomes a guy that is in your WR3 or flex positions, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right in both of those spots. I think this is probably the week right now. Don't put him in your lineup, but if Marlon Mack is available in free agency, go stash him on your bench. Because now that Robert Turbin's out, they don't really have a choice but to use Mack. And I think once they get a better look at him, he's going to end up taking that role from Frank Gore. And I kind of like Jack Doyle a little bit. If you're trying to stream a tight end, I don't hate that. I think Indianapolis is going to be behind in the game, and Jack Doyle will be a favorite target over the middle because the Jacksonville secondary is not someone you want to test on the boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you hit it right on the head. I think if you've got Frank Gore, I'm not terrified to play him this week.
You should be, Frank Gore.
All right, let's move on to the next game on our list here. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. 40.5 is the over-under, with Pittsburgh favored by 5.5 at home. Obviously, you're going to play Bell and Brown and AJ Green, although I think we may have a little bit of a disagreement on Green. We touched on this in the DFS podcast. I think Green does not have a great week, and you think fire up AJ Green as a potential overall WR1 this week?
I think AJ Green is the second best wide receiver in the NFL behind Antonio Brown, and I'm going to play him in any matchup. I don't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're starting AJ Green no matter what. I think what I'm talking about is expectations.
Oh, expectations. I think AJ Green's going to go off.
You think he's going to go off? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm less convinced.
I don't think Joe Hayden can shut him down, and no one else in the Cincinnati passing game is reliable. So I just think he's going to continue to get 12 targets, and I'll take my chances against Joe Hayden.
Okay. I think a potential flex guy here is Juju Smith-Schuster with Martavis Bryant, all the drama surrounding whether he actually wants to be a Steeler or not.
Can we discuss something really quickly, us being based here in Chicago? I've heard way too many people this week talk about, if Martavis Bryant wants to trade, the Bears should trade for him. No! The guy's coming off a year-long suspension and is already asking for a trade. Why would you want to give up draft picks for that?
I wouldn't.
No, absolutely not.
Anybody on the Cincinnati side you like other than Green?
No. I thought we'd have a little more clarity by this point about the running back situation, but we're
not. Yeah, we don't. This feels like a Geo week, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Mixon is averaging like 3 yards a carry, and it's
disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I would stay away.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next game. Baltimore, Minnesota, 39 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 5.5 at home. This one has the potential, I think, to be real ugly, and I'm not loving a lot of guys here. I'm downgrading most of the players in this. Stephon Diggs is a guy you need to watch, whether he's going to play or not. Adam Thielen, I think, gets a little more volume locked in, but... Boy, I don't really like a lot of guys in this game, Kyle. Do you just want to move on?
I mean, you're going to play Jerick McKinnon if you were lucky enough, like myself, to snap him up when he was still available. Really quickly, Buck Allen, you were high on him last week. And
so disappointed.
You almost had me convinced. I think I sent you a text on Saturday, like, I'm starting to see that play. Yeah. And then Saturday night, I went, no, I'm not. Don't be dumb. And then when I saw Alex Collins line up in the backfield on the first snap last week, I just started laughing.
The Buck Allen should have won this job by now. And he just doesn't.
Yeah, but
he doesn't have it.
Yeah, he's Buck Allen. So they're like, we're going to go with the guy that puts the ball on the ground every other time he touches it, and Alex Collins, because he's still better than Buck Allen.
Yeah, yeah. That's disappointing. Disappointing. I thought it was a perfect spot for him, and really just Baltimore just doesn't trust him.
No, so. They don't.
All right, another game that does not have a ton of fantasy goodness, the Jets at Miami, 38.5. There's a lot of low over-unders this week, guys. This could be a pretty ugly week in your matchups. Miami's favored by 3 at home. Jay Ajayi looked pretty darn good last week and now gets a matchup against a Jets rush defense that I don't really fear. I like Ajayi in this matchup. What do you think of Jay Ajayi sort of coming back a little bit?
Yeah, he's got 51 carries over the last 2 weeks. I think they finally figured out that Jay Cutler is bad and that they need to give the ball to Jay Ajayi. It's not going to go... I mean, it can't go as poorly as it did the first time against the Jets, right?
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
You know, he had 11 attempt for 16 yards back on September 24th in the Miami's second game against them. you have to figure the breakout game's coming for him sooner or later, and at home against the Jets would be a good spot. I was going to say on the other side that I kind of liked Matt Forte, but I'm seeing Powell is going to play on Sunday, so go ahead and throw that out the window.
I don't think you can start any Jets running back with confidence at this point.
Not when all three of them are healthy. I really don't care for the Miami defense at all, so I thought that might be a play. But outside of that, you need to pay attention to if Devontae Parker is going to play.
If he's out, I think Jarvis Landry, you have to elevate expectations for him.
Yeah, he just is a target monster. And I guess if Parker's out, you can take another shot on Kenny Stills. I think he found the end zone last week, if I remember correctly.
He's always a threat to get one deep. So as a flex or a super flex type of position, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to go overboard in a game that has, 38 and a half.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
And football this week.
Yeah, there is. Let's move on to the next one. No over-under yet because we don't know the status of Jameis Winston as Tampa Bay travels to Buffalo. Second straight week, Tampa Bay is on the road. They went West Coast. Now they're going up to the Ralph. Jameis Winston, a guy who hasn't thrown a pass yet this week, as we are taping this on Thursday afternoon. So it may be Ryan Fitzpatrick. If it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, do you have to downgrade guys like Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Cameron Brate, guys that we haven't been afraid to fire up with confidence?
I think Mike Evans is still going to see plenty of work if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's just a higher chance that when Ryan Fitzpatrick is trying to throw it to Mike Evans, it's going to be picked off. Obviously, you're going to play him either way. I think the most intriguing thing here is Doug Martin. The game script's been bad from the last 2 weeks. He still looked good. I think this sets up well. I think the Buffalo defense is a little bit overrated. I still don't mind them in DFS purposes because I think they're going to at least get a bit of a lead and Fitzpatrick might turn it over. But Doug Martin also has a chance of putting up a pretty solid day.
Is this the week LeSean McCoy hits the end zone?
Yes. If it doesn't happen this week, it's not happening.
Yeah, I agree. If you need a tight end streamer, I think Nick O'Leary is a decent play this week. We know Tyrod Taylor loves to find, I like Tyrod Taylor, by the way, this week, if you need a quarterback. We know he loves to throw the tight end. Charles Clay is out. Nick O'Leary seems like a plug-and-play type guy if you need a streaming tight end.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one. Carolina, Chicago, 41 is the over-under. Another one of these low over-under games. Carolina favored by 3 on the road. I think obviously you're playing Cam if you've got him. Christian McCaffrey seems like he's in a decent spot, especially in a PPR league. Keep an eye on if Kelvin Benjamin is healthy. Devin Funchess seems like the guy. But I want to ask about the Chicago side. How confident are you in Jordan Howard against this Carolina defense?
I mean, he's going to see a lot of carries. I think the Bears have made it clear here now that they understand that they have no weapons whatsoever at wide receiver and that they're not going to put Trubisky in a spot where, not that they worried about him failing, but the fact that they're not going to take a chance of him getting hurt or throwing a game away. So I think Jordan Howard's going to get a lot of work, whether it's fruitful or not. A quick note, Kelvin Benjamin apparently has a lot of swelling in his knee, so it's looking more and more like he's not going to suit up.
I think I want to elevate my expectations for Devin Funchess then. In this matchup.
Yeah, I don't
Christian McCaffrey.
I don't like picking on the Bears defense.
Yeah, they've been just good enough. That's sort of where they've been at for as far as fantasy purposes.
Yeah,
they don't allow big explosion spots.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers I think is the only one that really got them for multiple touchdowns, and I don't think he threw for a lot of yards if I remember right either. Not that he needed to in that game, but let's see here. Yeah, he only threw for 179 yards. They're just not giving up a lot of yardage through the air. Now, Cam's floor, at least, is getting kind of vaulted up there because he's running the ball a lot more than he was at the beginning of the year and most of last year.
Yeah, I think Carolina finally realized they win when Cam rushes the ball.
Yeah, not a bad strategy.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to a game that we, you know, gosh, a week ago I really had my eyes on, and now with the Aaron Rodgers injury, just kind of depressed a little bit. New Orleans at Green Bay, 47.5 is the over-under. New Orleans currently favored by 4.5 on the road. If you need to pick up a quarterback this week, is Brett Hundley the guy?
Well, we talked about in the DFS podcast, I actually like C.J. Beathard more. I'm not a big believer in Brett Hundley, but he is at home against the Saints defense. If you're desperate, I there's worse options, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Mark Ingram went off last week, and this is looking more and more like Mark. I mean, it's always Drew Brees' offense, but Mark Ingram has I think officially carved out his role, and I think you can fire him up as an RB1 with total confidence this week against that Green Bay defense.
I think this is a Saints blow up spot. I know that they play a lot better at home, but I like them to cover the 6-point spread here. I just getting a feeling that this is going to be a blowout.
It might be. This looks like a great day for Michael Thomas too.
Yeah. Do need to pay attention. There are some weather concerns in both Green Bay and Chicago. I'm saying they're saying there could be some pretty steady rain coming down for both of these games.
Fun. Good times. The one game we get excited about, now there's weather concerns. All right, well, let's move on to the London game. Arizona against the Rams. 46.5 is the over-under. Rams favored by 3.5 as technically the home team. Are you playing Larry Fitzgerald this week, Kyle?
No, I'm not playing Larry Fitzgerald. I'm never playing Larry Fitzgerald, and no one should play Larry Fitzgerald because he's the worst.
I think he may struggle in this matchup, but I want to ask about Adrian Peterson. We touched on him in the DFS podcast, but he looked like he had plenty left last week, and now gets a Rams defense that you could run on. Adrian Peterson, I think, is firmly into the RB2 conversation. What do you think?
I think if you picked up Adrian Peterson off of waivers, that you should trade him right now. That's what I think. It's just not going to continue. It might continue for one more week, but I'd say if you can unload them, unload them now, because you're going to get more than you should for them. I can't believe that this is happening. He looked done. I mean, it wasn't not just this year, but when he started the year last year in Minnesota, he looked awful before he went down with another injury. And just like, well, it's not going to continue.
Yeah, that game really did come out of nowhere last week.
Yeah, trade him. Just be smart. Get what you can for him now, and move on with your life.
I don't love Sammy Watkins against Patrick Peterson. I don't love anybody against Patrick Peterson. So if you're looking elsewhere in the Rams passing game, I think Robert Woods is intriguing as a WR3 or a flex, because Justin Bethel continues to get burned and Arizona keeps rolling him out.
Yeah, the Jared Goff as a legitimate fantasy asset didn't last very long, though, did it?
Yeah, it didn't, but I don't hate him this week. If you're in a bind...
No,
Goff, you could do worse than Jared Goff. This week,
despite the fact that they have Patrick Peterson, the Arizona pass defense has just been a sieve.
Mm-hmm. Everyone avoids Peterson and goes after Bethel and the rest of the secondary.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the next one. Dallas at San Francisco, 47 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 6 on the road. Kyle, finally a game that we can talk about with a lot of fantasy options. Obviously, you're playing Dez if you got him, Zeke if you got him. But you mentioned C.J. Beathard. I really like Dak Prescott this week. Talk about this game and some of the guys you really, really like this week.
Yeah, I like the San Francisco passing game quite a bit, actually. Don't like the Dallas secondary. I think Pierre Garçon is finally going to get into the end zone this week. George Kittle is another good streamer at tight end. If you haven't had a chance to pick him up and he's still available, he shouldn't be. He's running the most pass routes of any tight end in the NFL right now over the last month. I guess the question is, how comfortable do you feel with Carlos Hyde? You're probably going to play him, but do you feel like he's a guy that still could be benched at any point?
Less so. I feel like it may, last week we heard that Kyle Shanahan was unhappy and Matt Breida might be the number one guy now. I feel like that may have been a motivational ploy by Kyle Shanahan rather than actually how he felt, because Carlos Hyde, I think, has reclaimed that number one spot. And I am firing up running backs with confidence against Dallas.
Yeah. I think this is a sneaky shootout game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. All right, let's move on to the next one. Seattle at the Giants. 40 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 4.5 on the road. I didn't see that Giants-Broncos game coming for sure. I had the Broncos in most of my survivor pools.
Oh, God, that was just brutal.
Yeah, but now, do we have to talk about a guy like Orleans Darkwa? Even though it's against that Seattle rush defense?
I had a friend message me about this earlier in the week, and I just kind of laughed at him. And now you're asking me, too. No. This game, bet the under. Like, just go bet the under. There's no way it's getting to 40 points.
All right. Obviously, Jimmy Graham, if you've got him, you're playing him. I really like him this week against the Giants team that can't stop tight ends.
Yeah.
And I kind of like Evan Ingram just because I think the volume is there. So I think both tight ends are probably the strongest plays in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Outside of that, if you have Russell Wilson, you're probably going to play him. But, eh.
Yeah.
Eh. This is going to be like a 13-6 game, I think.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's move on to the next game then. Denver at the Chargers. 40.5 is the over under, and it's currently going as a pick'em as of Thursday afternoon. So Vegas can't pick. They can't decide who's going to take this one. Man, that Denver team looks really, really bad against the Giants.
Oh yeah.
Now they got to go on the road. No Emmanuel Sanders. Benny Fowler, a guy worth picking up and streaming this week?
Yeah, Benny Fowler is someone that should be on your radar, because I actually think Denver is going to be behind, and I think they're going to be behind by enough that they're going to be forced to go to Trevor Siemian, which is not good, because there's another one. Remember when Trevor Siemian was a thing?
For two weeks he was,
and then it all came crashing down. Benny Fowler. I once again really like the Chargers in this spot. Someone dropped Hunter Henry in the Blog Talk Radio League, and I just
Whoa.
I was like, okay, thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, just pick him up and start him.
Yeah, well,
because he's the guy now.
Yes, he is. Now I just have to go through the weekly routine of deciding between him and Delanie Walker, which isn't going to be fun. But I wasn't going to let someone else pick up Hunter Henry.
Yeah, I think that was a really smart pickup. I can't believe Hunter Henry got dropped in an experts league.
Yes, in an expert. That's why you put experts in quotation marks.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, let's move on to the easily highest over-under of the week. Atlanta at New England, Super Bowl rematch. 56.5 is the current over-under. New England favored by 3.5 at home. Play everybody, right? That's our expert advice in this game. Play everybody.
Yeah, play everyone. I could rant against Atlanta again, but if you want to hear me complain about Steve Sarkisian, I say go check out our DFS podcast. I do feel like this game might be lower scoring than I think it's going to be under. But I mean, yeah.
Potential alone, I do want to ask about the Patriots running back situation. Mike Gillisley was a guy that people liked going into the season, and certainly after that first game. But it looks like Deion Lewis and James White have passed him up.
Yeah, Deion Lewis got a lot of the first and second down work last week. And don't forget what James White did to the Falcons in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep, absolutely. Taylor Gabriel, a WR3 flex guy.
Yes, I actually like him.
Available.
I think I like him the most out of anyone on Atlanta this week.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to the Monday night game then. Washington at Philadelphia. 49 is the over-under. Philadelphia favored by 4.5 at home. Boy, Carson Wentz, he has just been so strong to start this year, and I don't see that stopping against a Washington secondary that's going to be without Josh Norman and potentially Breshad Breeland, I believe.
Yeah, no, he'd fire him up. You're feeling pretty good about yourself right now if you have Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz, for that matter. The man just scores touchdowns.
Is this the Alshon Jeffrey game where he finally blows up?
I can never predict Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, I watched him in Bears uniform for how many years and could never figure it out. So I don't know.
If I don't know, I think,
sorry, I know that you come here looking for advice, and I give you an I don't know, but that's the honest truth. I don't know.
He's had really, really poor matchups the first 5 weeks of the season. Finally got loose a little bit last week. I think that this is when we start seeing Alshon put up those video game like numbers.
Yeah, if you're on the fence about playing him this week, I think that the potential is strong enough that you can go ahead and plug him in, but I don't know.
On the Washington side, Chris Thompson is a guy that keeps producing, even though he's limited in the amount of touches he's going to get.
Yeah, he's just too explosive to avoid at this point. You know, it's kind of fun. The Washington offense is ranked near the top of the league, and they're doing it without really anyone standing out. You know, Pryor has been kind of a disappointment. Jamison Crowder has been very underutilized, but they just continue to put up points.
Yeah, they keep spreading it around, and at the end of the day, there's Washington as one of the highest scoring teams in the league.
Yep.
All right, well, let's close out as we always do with our bold calls. Kyle, do you have a bold call this week?
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead with Mark Ingram as a top three scorer.
Mark Ingram, top three scorer. Yeah, I don't think that there's really any point chasing going on with Ingram. I think it's a legitimate role that he's carved himself out in this offense.
I think he's going to see a lot of touches in this game.
Okay. I think my bold call this week is Marcus Mariota is QB1 overall.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think that this is a blow-up spot for him. I love the matchup. I love anybody that goes up against the Cleveland defense, but Mariota looked really, really good, and he has that high floor and high ceiling potential with what he does on the ground.
I think the only reason he doesn't do what you're saying is the fact that the Cleveland offense is that inept and that Tennessee gets up big quickly.
Entirely possible. All right. Well, that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football League podcast. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.